So we just delete all the previous podcasts, right?
Just delete the whole old channel.
Yeah. Yeah, just do. By the way, subscribe to the new, not the new, subscribe to the old GBA Temp YouTube channel. We've hit like 600 subscribers. That's insane, dude. Like back when I left it, it was like at what, 500? Now it's got 600. And that's like in what, 7 months? Dude, this is insane growth for our channel. You guys all need to subscribe if you aren't subscribed yet. Obviously, my tactic of migrating the long-formed videos, the weekly ones, to an archive channel has worked. We're seeing growth. We can do this. We can finally start competing with IGN, Machinima, Cinemassacre, Channel Awesome, of course. We are going to be on the top of the gaming YouTube world. I know it. You guys just need to subscribe to that YouTube channel. Hey, and I'm not even affiliated with it because the podcast, it's uploaded on the other channel. So, hey, I'm doing you guys a favor, Costello. So, basically, the Nintendo 64, what do you think, Steven? Is that a good console?
It's one of those consoles, I think, where, like, most of the good games have already been ported, but you need to keep it around because, you know, like, it's the only place, I think, where you can play Ocarina of Time. I can't think of anywhere else where you could get it, so that'll always keep the N64 relevant.
Well, yeah, there's probably other games on the N64 that are better, like Glover, Phalanx is Super Nintendo. Castlevania 64 is another classic. So, like, the N64 has a lot of good games, not just the Ocarina of Time, which is kind of overrated, to be honest. I played it.
Wow.
I didn't like it at all because, I mean, it's locked to, like, what, 20 FPS? Like, that's not playable. I can't play this. I'm a PC Master Race kind of guy. You're giving me this console that can only do 240p. You want me to play, like, at 20 frames per second?
No. It turns out we were both wrong, I guess, because there's a new port of Ocarina of Time to the PC that is now running at 60 FPS.
Wow. That's insane. What? That's super cool. Yeah, I actually watched the video of that announcement. It's very funny. It's done in the style of the CDI Zelda games. It's really funny. You guys should check it out. And like most of the video, they're like saying that, oh, we can't really do 60 FPS in Ocarina of Time because of how all the physics and stuff and the game's coded like to 24 or something. But then in the end, they reveal that they finally achieved 60 FPS. And that's just wow. Nice. Oh, by the way, we got the soundboard back. No, that's the wrong one. No, that's the wrong one. Yeah! Yeah.
So, what's the deal with the 60 FPS? I've heard something about it being, like, interpolated 60 FPS, but I don't really know what that means.
So, I don't know if it's confirmed to be interpolated, because I didn't write the article. But, basically, what interpolated means is that the source of the video image that you're getting is in a set frame rate, right? It could be 24 FPS, it could be 30 FPS, or even 60. It is then interpolated into a higher FPS by a mechanism which inputs frames between those missing slots. Like, let's say if you have a 30 FPS video file, right? And you set it to 60 FPS, you have to expand it to fill in like the 60 FPS slots. So right. Every second frame, you get one of the original 30 frames. And you have to input a frame between those two frames. Otherwise, it would just be, you know, flashing black every 30th second or so. And to do that, there's a technique called interpolation, which basically takes the first frame and the second frame, and using like algorithms and math, it tries to figure out a frame that would fit between those two and create like a smoother motion between the frames.
Right.
That's what interpolation does. Now, the thing is interpolation might work well for something like films and TV shows, but if you do that, what the f*** is wrong with you? You probably have smooth motion on your TV, you monster. Stop doing that. Disable that shit. But it would work great in video games if not for one issue. One issue being that this adds a lot of latency to games.
Really?
Yeah, this is why you can't like enable like ultra smooth motion on your TV while playing on your like PS3, imagining that Red Dead Redemption is playing at like 120 FPS. It doesn't work that way because it would take like a whole second between you moving your character and the character actually moving.
Right.
It adds in a lot of latency, the post production effects, you know, and the happening in the computer, interpolate the frames as they come. It's very taxing, and it can't be really done in perfect real time, so it takes some time. That's what interpolation means. Are you sure, Mr. Steven Rolabi, that this is interpolated? Because I don't think they would need to resort to that. I don't think you're porting something from a source code.
No, I'm not positive if it's interpolated or not.
Then where did you get the information? What are we talking about here?
I don't know. I saw people saying it on their Discord or on the YouTube comments and stuff, so I don't know if that's true or not.
I've seen a lot of things on Discord. I wouldn't talk about them.
I don't know. I just wanted to ask because I'm not an expert on these things. I don't know. I don't know how it all works.
Yeah, I'm going to check the YouTube comments.
I didn't know how serious interpolation was, if it was that much worse. I didn't know, you know.
I'm just going to go to the YouTube comments right now. And I'm going to control F, nothing. I'm getting nothing. Did you just imagine something, Steven, just so we could talk about something?
Maybe I did. I don't know. Oh, maybe I just wanted to extend this with false information.
Wow.
So you watched the whole video, did you? The whole presentation they made?
No.
No? Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't have the time. I'm sorry, I'm a busy man.
No, I was going to talk about some of the other stuff. So they added in a save editor, their save states. They added in a cheat menu, so there's cheats like being able to climb everything, infinite health, money, etc. They made some enhancements, audio and visual enhancements, so it looks a little bit more like the 3DS version.
Yeah, I coughed.
Yeah, sorry. And you can also make it so when items drop, they'll render in 3D. So say like an enemy drops
that's actually interesting.
Yeah, so like a rupee or whatever drops, instead of just the little 2D image, it's a fully rendered 3D one. That's pretty cool. They announced that they're working with Render 96, who did the HD models and the HD versions for the Mario 64 PC port a few years ago. Yeah.
I saw that. That's cool.
Yeah, so that they didn't give a release window or anything, but they're working together on it, so hopefully that'll be coming up relatively soon. I think they also said they're working exclusively with this port. It's called Ship of Harkinian, because there's another, at least one other PC port I've heard of out there called, I think it's like Open Ocarina of Time. Mm. But I don't know too much about that one. The only thing I know about them is that they've been trying to cause drama with this one, accusing them of stealing code, which I don't think is true, as far as I can tell, because it's all based off of the, it's all open source anyway, so.
Well, you could still steal code, even if it's an open source project. I mean, like.
Well, you could. I don't know. I shouldn't get into it, because I don't know enough about it.
It's like if I drew a picture of Sonic the Hedgehog and you drew a picture of Sonic the Hedgehog tracing over like my image of Sonic the Hedgehog, and then you saying, well, I didn't actually steal your artwork because you don't own Sonic the Hedgehog.
It's true.
Like if I have a picture of Sonic's feet and like his sweaty feet after like a long run on the Green Hill Zone, and you just copy that image, but you, you know, change a little bit the coloring, the shading, that's still, I would, I would still sue you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. That's what's going on with the PC port of Ocarina of Time. I don't know. It looks good. It's not, I think a lot of people, well, I shouldn't say a lot, but I know a few people are waiting for the, all the HD stuff to come out, which is kind of what I'm waiting for to actually play it too, but it is looking really good right now.
Why there's a lot of cool enhancements. I'm sorry. I'm just so confused. Why aren't people playing the 3DS version?
Probably because they don't own a 3DS, and I don't know if Citra can emulate it perfectly.
It can. Citra can it? Is good. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm always wary of 3DS emulation because I don't want to play that on a computer where I don't have two screens and a touch screen and stuff like that, right?
Why not just make mods to that? I mean, okay, listen, I get game preservation. I'm all for these projects, right? Taking old games and then improving them. But Nintendo did all the work. They made a perfect version of Ocarina of Time on the 3DS. It's really good. You guys should check it out. I couldn't play the one on the N64. Like, I tried to emulate it. I just hated it. It was so bad. The 3DS one is just so much better. I'm a spoiled brat, I know. Yeah, nostalgia and all that. But what we're doing here with this port, not we, but you talented developers, of course, you're just trying to make the game better, but it's already been made better. Right.
I don't know. That version isn't running natively on PC. I guess you can emulate it and it is probably pretty good, but it doesn't open it up to, you know, everything you can do with a native PC port, like all the extra cheats, and there's community mods coming out. I think they're building a website with that'll have a repository of all the mods. So people are adding in things like you know, a mod so that if you shoot an arrow, it'll stick in the ground longer and you can pick it back up, or a slingshot that can shoot the bombs, stuff like that. So, like, I don't think you can do that emulated on the 3DS version. I'm sure there is some kind of way, but it would be very, very difficult.
Just, have you played Ocarina of Time?
Yep, I played the 3DS version.
Yeah, you know how in the 3DS version you go into, like, building and stuff?
Yeah.
Like interior scenes, right? Into like shops.
Yep.
Yeah, in the original version on the N64, none of those are modeled. It's just projection mapped images of like a store. Okay. Every time you go inside.
Yeah.
But in the 3DS, they actually took the time to model those areas.
Yeah, I guess.
So, like, are they going to do that for this port?
I don't know.
Because that would be so much work. Like, with the 3D modeling, like, just you have this very low-res N64 texture that's meant to be projection mapped, like, on a 360 sphere. You're going to have to, like, handcraftedly, like, try to model that environment. That Nintendo already did that in 2010. You can just have it. You can just buy it. But okay, you know what? I'm not gonna complain. I've never developed shit. All right, I'm not a homebrew developer unless Alien John is considered homebrew. It's not. But no. You know, I support homebrew developers. I love them. I know some of them personally, and you know, I, as a guy who's still rocking Windows XP, I respect the fact that all these developers don't do like bullshit stuff, like, oh, our program is only available for Windows 11 and up. Oh, you need to have the latest DirectX 12, because I'm an old guy. I like XP. I've got Service Pack 3 installed. I don't need anything else. So I got, like, all my favorite emulators are here on RetroArch. I got Project 64. I got Mupin. I got MAME. I got Nestopia. I got my favorite one, Dolphin. How can I not be without my Dolphin?
Well, I got bad news for you then, because Dolphin on Windows is only going to be supported for versions 10 and up. So it's only going to be supported on Windows 10 and 11.
That was the new boo sound, ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of Slinger. Oh my God. Wow. Are you serious? Are you playing a joke here? What?
No. So in their last progress report, they were talking about a change they made that caused a lot of issues with the Windows 7 build, and someone came in and was able to fix it and save Windows 7 support, but they sort of implied that it was just becoming too difficult to manage a Windows 7 version. And they have not made an official announcement yet, but on their FAQ, it does say that it'll only be on Windows 10 and up. And
wow.
On the emulation Reddit, someone that works for Dolphin made a comment saying that they would be making an official announcement about this soon. So it doesn't seem like it's a mistake or anything.
Damn, you know, it's kind of sad, but it wouldn't have been so sad if Windows 10 wasn't so bad in comparison to Windows 7. Like, I'm obviously joking. I don't run Windows XP. I run Windows 8, the best one. the thing is, Windows 10, especially for people who are like hardcore into computers, I guess people who are into emulators are kind of hardcore into computers. They know their ways in and out of a desktop, right? And so Windows 10 has so many fucking trackers in it built in. It's so not privacy oriented at all. Like, Windows 10 tracks everything. Everything. Telemetry is built in everywhere. It's a terrible operating system in terms of privacy, and even more so in Windows 11. Windows 11 is a nightmare of an operating system. It's shit. Oh, it looks fancy though, because it got round corners and stuff, but other than that, it's terrible. So them dropping support on Windows 7 is something I understand they have to do, because you've got all these operating systems. Is Dolphin out for Linux?
It's on Linux, it's on Mac, and it's on Android.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, it's supporting all of that, and with Windows 10 and Windows 7, like, they probably looked at their statistics of how many people are on Windows 7 using their emulator, and it's probably like a very low amount. It's probably
I saw someone in the subreddit, and I wasn't really able to verify it, but I saw someone in the Dolphin subreddit say that some of those statistics are available, and it was something like 1.8% of users are on Windows 7.
there is no reason to waste like manpower on keeping up that old version. And still, like, Dolphin is a pretty well-rounded emulator, and it has been for years.
Yeah.
Like, I remember Dolphin being stable like 10 years ago. So it's definitely, you can find some builds for Windows 7 and just play all your games like nearly perfectly.
Yeah, I think on their website it said 25% of games play perfectly, and something like 60 play are playable. So, you know, Windows 7 people can still do a lot. I don't know, at least until there's another big update to Dolphin. I don't know what else they could do other than, but I don't know. Well, maybe dropping Windows 7 support will make it easier to do bigger things. I don't know.
I just hope this doesn't then happen to Windows 10.
It will eventually.
I mean, I don't want it to, because I can't actually upgrade to Windows 11 even if I wanted to, because my CPU isn't supported for some stupid f***ing reason.
Oh. Well, I mean, it will happen. It'll be years and years and years from now, though. I mean, I'm sure you'll have a new CPU by then.
Microsoft should have just kept updating Windows 10, because there's going to be so many issues once they... Aren't they planning to discontinue like support for Windows 10 in like 2025 or something stupid like that? Let me Google that.
I don't know. I didn't hear.
Microsoft.
When did they stop supporting Windows 7?
A couple of years ago, I think. Yeah, Microsoft will continue to support at least one Windows 10 release until October 15th, 2025.
Oh, wow.
This is so stupid. This is such a huge security concern because most of the computers right now in the world don't have like the proper specifications for Windows 11. They don't.
Yeah.
A lot of legacy computers are going to get fucked. A lot of security concerns, a lot of zero-day exploits becoming first-day exploits, I guess. Oh, it's going to be nasty. And especially with the chip shortage.
Mm.
Like, try getting a new chip. Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, which I think, I mean, those shortages are still expected to last at least another year.
I'd say another decade. It's not... Yeah.
Yeah, that seems really soon. That's a concern. Yeah, I don't know. I was going to say, too, going back to what you said about how, like, people who are hurt, you know, people who are into emulators are probably, like, kind of serious about computers and would know about this stuff and would care about the move from one system to another. I actually don't know if that's true anymore because I know a lot of people that don't know anything about computers, but video games have gotten so popular at this point and are tied to so many people's childhoods. I know a lot of people that want emulators to play, you know, the old N64 or GameCube games that they remember from when they were kids that don't know the first thing about computers. So, I mean, I don't know. I could see this being an issue, I guess, because the hardcore people, if they're serious enough about not wanting to get involved in the security risks of newer Windows OSs, could just move to Linux. Not that that's super easy, but you know what I mean. But, like, I think the audience for this stuff is going way beyond the hardcore, you know, computer people. I mean, that's why it's on Mac and why it's on Android, right?
Yeah. But, you know, it's funny that you said that, like people want to remember the good old days emulation and stuff. You know, some people, they're too stupid to emulate old games. They really are. And instead, what they do is that they buy a subscription for an online service on a console in order to play those good old games. And I'm not talking about GOG. I'm talking about PS Plus, baby.
So the new PS Plus, they've been talking about revamping PS Plus for a few months now. I don't think we've talked about it on here before because we didn't do an episode for like 6 months.
Yeah.
Basically, they're going to revamp PS Plus, so they're going to combine it with PS Now. So there's going to be three tiers: the Essential, which is what you get now. It's you know, access to playing online, and you get a couple of games every month you can download. I think that's going up in price. I think it's going up $1 or $2 a month, and then there's the extra tier, which adds in streaming and downloads for some PS4 and 5 games. And then there's premium, which lets you stream PS3 games and then download or stream PS1, 2, or PSP games on top of it.
Cool.
Yeah, and that, I think, is like $120 a month for the premium tier. So, like, basically double.
Wait,
the...
did you just say $120 a month?
No, sorry, a year. I meant sorry. <Fuck. laughs> Sorry.
That's still a lot. That's still a lot.
Yeah, that's
I wouldn't pay that. You know, I'd rather install something called RetroArch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's okay, so the Essential tier is $10 a month. The extra is $15 a month and premium is $18 a month. So yeah, $120 a year for the last one. And yeah, it seems weird. They are, I guess in Sony's defense, they are adding some upgrades to these games. Some of them, but they're very weird about it. They always say some. They're not committing to it being universal, but some of the PS1 and I assume PSP or PS2 games are going to be getting frame rate improvements, resolution improvements, save states, rewind functions, and trophy support.
Well, that's interesting. I know a guy who used to be into trophies.
Until he got canceled.
Yeah, he got caught with crack and hookers. This was all found on his on his laptop. Yeah,
he was. He had crack on his laptop.
No, he gave in to his laptop to repair, right? And somebody in the repair service, they fixed the laptop, try to get him back, but Eric just didn't want to respond for some reason. And so the guy opened up the laptop and found all these photos of Eric Zander doing cocaine, crack cocaine, having sex with hookers. This is all real. You can find this on the internet, images of him committing these acts. I think he went under a pseudonym, Hunter Biden, something like that. Just Google Hunter Biden laptop. That's basically what Eric Zander did that got him off this show.
Yeah. That's the true story. What happened to
him? He'd love this. It's kind of sad. Like trophies and Ape Escape? Come on.
I think it's a good idea to add trophies and stuff because it's, I don't know. If they put Metal Gear Solid on the service, I don't think I would go back and play. But if they put that up with trophies, I would probably go back and try to get the Platinum just because I love that game and it's a different way to play it. But to your point about RetroArch, I mean, RetroArch can do save states. It can do rewind. It can probably do a higher resolution. I don't know if it could improve the frame rate. There's retro achievements that you can do. You can get all of this through an emulator.
I was about to say, specifically the retro achievements thing. That's actually a thing that exists, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. The kind of cool thing about this is that this will... it is coming to PC. If you have a subscription, you know, there's going to be a PC client. I think you can only stream on the PC version, but that it's still kind of a way to play a couple of PlayStation exclusive games on PC. Like Bloodborne will be on the service.
Streaming only?
Streaming only.
What? Oh, fuck you.
Well, Sony. It'll be, you could download it if you had a console, but I'm saying for PC, you would only be able to stream it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No.
But what about on the PS5? Can you play? Oh, I guess it has, reverse backwards compatibility. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah, they put out a partial list of what's going to be there in their launch frame. They made an announcement that felt very vague because they said these are some of the games that will be available in the launch window without specifying what the launch window is or giving us an idea of how many other games are going to be out. It's very weird. But I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. It looks fine. There's a couple of good games on there. Like the Demon Souls remake is going to be there. So again, if you don't have a PS5, you could stream that on PC if streaming is available in your area. What were you going to say? Sorry.
This is basically what's it called? Game Pass for
basically
PlayStation users. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all it is. I don't know. There's a couple of interesting games there. But it's nothing amazing. There are some things that I find a little weird, the PS4 and PS5 games are supposed to be on the middle tier, and then PS1 and 2 games are in the highest tier. But for some reason, remasters of PS2 games that were released on the PS4 are locked into the highest tier. I don't really know why.
I don't like this tiering thing. I honestly don't dig it.
Yeah.
I don't like it at all. The thing, just give me, $12 a month you pay, you get all these PlayStation games. That should be fine. No, you got to do, this is premium. You can play PlayStation 3 games. I can get PlayStation 3 used for the annual subscription price and hack it, then play all my favorite legally owned games on it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and also it is a little restrictive in terms of if you did want to play them on PC, you can't just get a PC streaming package. You have to pay the highest price just to be able to stream them. And then you're paying for the stuff that you don't get access to, like online with the games or the free games thrown in every month.
So, what's worrying me the most about this streaming stuff and shit like that is that, let's say you have a game. How do you prove that you own it? You can't because you're paying a subscription. So how would like a gaming company have a technology maybe that they could use in order to use it in gaming, for example, for showing ownership over a game that you bought?
Well, I think Square Enix has the answer for you, because they put out a financial report last week, I think, and they are going to be committing hardcore to doing blockchain and NFT games in the future.
No, that's the wrong one. I hate NFTs. I mean, it's so stupid. Why would you have an NFT? What does that even mean? It's just a buzzword at this point.
Like, yeah, I'm not 100% sure how it works. NFT.
I'm 100% sure that they just use some quirky buzzwords in order to impress their investors. That's what I have. They're like, oh, we're looking into the metaverse. We're doing NFTs. Yeah, it's in our plans for the next year. So stay invested, bros.
Well, they've already started. They started selling NFTs. Well, in February 2022, they established the blockchain entertainment business division. And in March, started selling NFTs based off of a franchise called Million Arthur that I've never heard of. But I think it's only in Japan, as far as I can tell. I don't think it's made its way over here yet.
Does it have anything to do with Arthur the Aardvark from the PBS cartoon?
It does not appear to. I was very disappointed. It's been around for a while. I looked it up. I think the first game was in like 2014 or something. And
it called Millennium Falcon Arthur? What?
Million Arthur.
Million Arthur.
I had no fucking clue what it is. So apparently they got good results from that, because they're going to be producing a second season of Million Arthur NFTs. And they're going to start...
What does that even mean? What does that mean?
I don't know. They said second season. And they're going to incorporate game content into the blockchain. They're also they're working on getting world-building, story-focused creatives to assist them in launching new NFT brands and IP.
What?
And they're also going to start an initiative to establish regulatory clarity and guidelines for blockchain games. End quote. So that's a little weird, right? When you're starting a new business venture and you're like, we also need to figure out what the laws are is part of our initiative. Like, we need to figure out how far we can push this before we get in legal trouble.
I don't like this. Square Enix, thank God they sold off Deus Ex and all the other franchises I actually care about. I do not want to see a Deus Ex NFT. That would be so stupid. Oh my God. The fucking irony.
That's actually part of their financial report. They said they specifically sold those companies and those IP in order to fund this new venture, like in order to fund this new direction for the company.
Because they should have sold Chrono Trigger. That's the only like Japanese IP from Square Enix I actually care about. I don't want to see a Chrono Trigger NFT. Please, God, no. No, don't do this to me.
Square Enix, for a long time, at least the Japanese Square Enix, I know, has been big into microtransactions and stuff. Because, like, going back probably a decade at least at this point, they were big on mobile games with a bunch of microtransactions. They had that Final Fantasy, All the Bravest, that was very controversial. And weren't they big on trying to force... microtransactions into Mankind Divided? Wasn't that kind of a story?
Yeah, they had like, you could buy XP packs in order to unlock like XPs and augmentations. So yeah, they had that.
Yeah.
Upgrades. I mean, yeah, buy upgrades.
So that's been something they're focused on for a while. And they've said, I think going back like 5 years, they've said that all of their, Western games have underperformed their expectations. They said that...
I wonder why.
Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers, Mankind Divided, Just Cause 4, and I think the last two Tomb Raider games, they were publicly like, yeah, they didn't sell very well. Even as, I think Crystal Dynamics came out about Tomb Raider and were like, hey, it sold really well. I think they sold 5 million copies. And they're like, this is awesome. We sold really well. And then Square Enix was like, nah, you didn't do good enough. Probably because they weren't generating a ton of revenue from, you know, shady microtransactions and shit. I just want to read a quote from Square Enix's president, Yosuke Matsuda, where he was interviewed by Yahoo Japan. They got translated by VGC last month. And apparently he doubled down and committed to making blockchain games and said that traditional
What's
games...
What's a blockchain game?
I don't know.
The and, fuck?
But he said that traditional games would not be enough for the company anymore. And he said he liked blockchain games because it was autonomous game content. So I guess users are creating content and selling it to each other on the blockchain, and then Square Enix gets a portion of it, I think, is the... I don't know how.
This is... I wish you guys could see my webcam, because my face during this entire segment was like, remember the Picard facepalm meme? That was that was just me with occasionally just raising my hand and going, what the fuck are you talking... Blockchain games?
I think,
do you know what a blockchain is? I'm not like talking to you specifically, Steven.
No, I don't. Well, I don't even know what it is. You could talk to me. But like, here's the thing that I thought was the most interesting. We kind of skipped over when they said they wanted to get world building, story focused creatives to assist in launching new NFT brands and IP. So they know what people want. They know people want, you know, the stuff that has always done well for them, for the Final Fantasies and the Dragon Quest and stuff. They want story-focused games. They want big worlds people get lost in. And they're like, all right, well, we need to get the people that give them what they want and package it around the things they don't want, like NFTs. And
okay. I want... This is going to be the podcast question of the week. I want people to give me one example where the blockchain technology, or NFTs in that matter, can actually improve a gaming experience. Just show me how it actually improves, like, Final Fantasy. Show me how an NFT is actually beneficial. I can understand NFTs in, like, let's say you're selling a digital artwork, right? You made this really cool artwork. You drew it on your pad, but you want to sell it. You can't just sell prints because it's expensive, the shipping costs. So instead, you sell it as an NFT. I understand that, and I have absolutely nothing against using the blockchain technology in that way. That's actually the most wholesome way, because you're like directly supporting artists and stuff. And you have
Square Enix
thing.
Are artists. They're, you know, video games are artists.
No, because you're mass producing like Chrono Trigger GIFs or some shit. I don't fucking know. It's not art at that point.
No.
You can't. No. It's like those yacht monkeys. I don't know if you've seen those stupid fucking NFT monkeys where they're all drawn on the same thing.
I've seen like the Bored Ape. I don't think I've seen yacht monkeys.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay. Yeah. The Bored Ape, this fucking despicable. It's like, it's so much like not what this technology was supposed to be. It's a caricature. It's just a money grab. It's just a Ponzi scheme. And they're basically, Square Enix is just, I could understand them. Hey, let's say you have like creative people, just get some artists. Right, some super. Just go to DeviantArt and don't sort by new, but sort by popularity, and like look for some Final Fantasy characters. Right, find some artists that can draw really well and have distinct art styles. Just let them have like the IP for a couple of artworks. Right, and then sell it as an NFT and let Square Enix get like a small fraction of that. I can understand that. I would support that. But what the fuck is a game based off of blockchain technology. What the fuck is collecting creatives in order to create blockchain world building? What the fuck does that mean? You're just throwing out these stupid words that spell out Ponzi scheme. I just hate this so much. I mean, can you give me some good news from the Japanese?
I'm not finished with Square Enix yet. I want to talk a little bit more about Square Enix.
Okay, let's go. Let's do this.
Sure. So they also, though they talk a lot about how they want to, it's a lot of like kind of vague terms that don't necessarily mean anything. They say they want to strengthen their IP ecosystem and cultivate robust IP, including the creation of new IP. They say they want to found a bunch of new studios, whether that's either like creating them or acquiring them. They want to add a bunch of new studios to their portfolio. It's a little vague and I don't really know what it means. The thing about wanting more IP, I assume, means is to help in the blockchain thing, because you're not going to buy NFTs of a series you don't care about. But it does kind of beg the question why they got rid of so many of their Western IP that people do care about. Unless,
all right,
maybe they're trying to specifically target the Japanese market is the only thing I can think.
I'm going to go into full sellout mode now.
Okay.
Disregard everything I said previously about Square Enix. Square Enix, if you're listening to this podcast, I know you are. I'm willing to offer you an IP that is massively popular in Japan. It's called Alien John. It's a small indie game with huge potential of becoming like a multi-billion-dollar franchise. I know the Japanese people, they'd love this. Contact me at... what's my... I don't have a business email. Just
DM
just
him message on the site. Me on,
exactly. Message me on GBA Temp.
Get some ROMs while you're there. John.
Don't do that. I don't do that. Please don't ask me for ROMs. People have been doing that. I'm not going to send you anything. But yeah, Square Enix, hit me up. I guess I could sell it for you for like dirt cheap, and you're just going to get so much return on your investment. It's going to be insane. You're going to be thinking, wow, we've slept on this. Good thing we took it, not Konami or Sony. yeah, so please... Please do. If you need new IPs, hit me up on gbatemp.net.
You know, people hate Konami, but at least they're not doing NFTs of Metal Gear yet. They're doing
things worse.
You think Pachinko is worse?
if they understood the technology, they'd be doing it. they fucking hate their IPs. They've been milking it before NFTs were a thing.
Yeah. Stephen. Oh, I know. But they're not specifically doing this. There's been a bunch of rumors about a new Silent Hill game coming out. I haven't reported them on the site because, I don't know, it was just kind of vague rumors. But people that have somewhat of a reputation have said that Bloober Team is doing a remake of Silent Hill 2 and that there's another mainline entry in development. And there was like some concept art that leaked or something. Seems kind of interesting. I'd be into that.
It might be happening. It's been a thing for a couple of years now, like a Silent Hill remake or new entry to the series. I mean, it might be happening, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sorry, so the last thing about Square Enix, I got distracted. It seems like Square Enix is completely getting away from any kind of like Western development at this point, which I think is kind of interesting. So they still own a couple of Western IP like Just Cause and Life is Strange. Just Cause...
It is.
Hey-o. Just Cause, there's like a mobile game coming out, but there's no fifth one in development, it seems. Avalanche Studios is busy with other stuff, so Just Cause doesn't seem like a big IP for them right now. Life is Strange are little indie games. But I fell down a rabbit hole of looking, trying to find out if they owned any Western development studios anymore, and they founded a mobile studio in London in October, and other than that, I don't think they own any. They, in their press release, they say that all their development is now going to come from their Japanese studios and then Square Enix external studios and the Square Enix Collective. But as far as I can tell, external studios and Collective are both just publishing houses based out of Europe for publishing either IP they don't own or little tiny indie games.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think it's interesting that it seemed like for a long time their Western games were the ones that, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. It seemed like they were doing well for them critically, right? Like, I think the Deus Ex games and the Tomb Raider games and certainly that Guardians of the Galaxy game did a lot better for them critically than anything Final Fantasy's done for a while. Maybe not 14. I think people like 14. And Life is Strange is doing well and stuff, but it seems like they're completely getting out of any kind of Western development. Anything mentioned in their financial report about overseas restructuring was just to help them publish games overseas, not actually develop any. I don't know. I think that's kind of interesting that they're kind of turtling up and just focusing on the Japanese market. There's even a comment in that same interview with their president where he was talking about how he didn't want their Japanese studios to target Western audiences, just be completely Japanese and, you know, the weebs will get it. Is basically what he said.
He's right.
He is. He's
absolutely right, by the way.
Yeah, that's the one thing I can kind of agree with him on, because, like, I don't know, I'd rather them authentically be Japanese, right? But I don't know. I don't know. I think that's a little bit interesting that they're kind of moving away from all that stuff. And given how scummy most of their Japanese development's been lately, it's a little worrying that they're probably going to be doubling down on NFTs and microtransactions. But yeah, that's it, really. I think that's everything that's going on with Square Enix.
I'm so glad I'm not a Square Enix fan. I'm so glad I'm not a Final Fantasy fan. It kind of hurts for Chrono Trigger, but they haven't done anything with that in decades. So
yeah, I don't think Chrono Trigger was going to be coming around. I mean, they did the remake of Chrono Cross, obviously, but or not the remake, it was a remaster, I think. But yeah, like,
yeah, why Chrono Cross?
It was a very weird choice, wasn't it?
Who decided, okay, we need to bring Chrono Cross back? What? Who? What?
And I don't think that remake ended up going over very well, didn't it? I thought I remember hearing it was kind of buggy. I don't know. I'm wrong. Maybe I shouldn't say that if I don't know for sure.
That game is so stupid. It's not, it shouldn't deserve the Chrono title at all. It wasn't even developed as a Chrono Trigger sequel.
Oh, really?
It's so loosely connected. It's like a completely different world, completely different characters.
Oh, I didn't know. I always thought it was a different sequel. I didn't know that.
No, it is like just because, oh, there's one character and he knows somebody from the first game or something like that. It's something so stupid. It's like tacked on last minute.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the original Chrono Trigger, which, yeah, I wish that game got like a full scale remaster, like an open world, like a Dragon Quest remaster, something like that. That would be freaking awesome. Did I just say freaking instead of fucking?
You did.
I'm losing it. I'm losing it. I'm going insane.
You know what else I learned while researching this? Is that Square Enix owned Space Invaders, apparently, and they were in the middle of developing a Space Invaders augmented reality mobile game.
Fuck off.
I'm not kidding. Now, the studio that was working on that is one of the ones that got sold, so they haven't said what's happening with that project, but they're working on an augmented reality mobile Space Invaders game.
So augmented reality is, it's like Pokemon Go? It's like,
It doesn't say what it does. It delivers delivers players a compelling and completely new experience through its blend of proprietary AR technology and modern art style.
The Space Invaders.
I don't know.
The fuck do you make that into an AR game? I'm trying my best right now to imagine it. Like,
players will defend the world against an invasion wielding the magic of AR and the power of mobile devices. I don't know what that means.
I don't. Seems like a bad sell. I don't know.
Yeah, this was also announced over a year ago, and there's been no news since, so who knows what's going on with it.
Good. Hey, you know, that kind of reminds me. Remember that Pokemon sleeping app?
No, I don't.
They announced, like, a long time ago, during one of their Pokemon streams, that they're developing a new Pokemon mobile thing. It's called Pokemon Sleep. where it's basically a sleep tracking app. I don't remember if it was called Pokemon Sleep. Yeah. It might have been called like something else. But they were supposed to make this game. It's not even a game. It's just a sleep tracker. Somehow, like with Pokemon. You see, that's the thing. It sounds fucking stupid.
Yeah.
But it's Pokemon. It's Nintendo. It's like a serious company. You're like intrigued.
Yeah.
Like, huh, is this like some kind of new technology that they brought? Is this going to be like Pokemon Go? Is this like, oh, now you, in your sleep, you can like catch Pokemon or something stupid like that? No, that's actually interesting. But nothing has came out of that. I haven't heard of that in years.
Really?
And like when I bring it up to people, it's mostly the same reaction as you. Like maybe this is some kind of Mandela effect.
It was announced on May 28th, 2019. Yeah, I do not remember this at all. Here, do you want to hear the gameplay? Oh, wait a minute. Apparently, a data mine of Pokemon Go in 2022 said that Pokemon Go will support Pokemon Sleep somehow. Not sure how.
Okay, that's interesting. Like, what the fuck is Pokemon Sleep? What's the description?
There's a gameplay summary here on Wikipedia. It says, the game tracks the amount of time a user sleeps using the accelerometer of the external Pokemon Go Plus accessory and communicates the data to the user's mobile device via Bluetooth for sleep-related gameplay.
The fuck is that
market was cornered by Square Enix with Birth by Sleep. Although the gameplay specifics have not been revealed, the Pokemon company has promised it will turn sleeping into entertainment in a similar way to how the Pokemon franchise's other mobile games, Pokemon Go and Pokemon Smile, turned walking and oral hygiene into entertainment, respectively. I've never heard of Pokemon Smile.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, it's a game where you have to brush your teeth.
That's fucking awesome.
I remember that too.
Well, this is a weird way it's described on the App Store. Turn tooth brushing into a fun and exciting adventure with Pokemon Smile. Players can partner up with some of their favorite Pokemon to defeat the cavity-causing bacteria and save captured Pokemon.
What the fuck were they smoking when they came up with this?
I've never heard of this. This is awesome. Oh, the icon on the App Store is awesome too. It's a really terribly drawn Pikachu with like a big oversized head and tiny ears sitting on a tooth and holding a toothbrush.
What? Somebody was brushing their teeth one morning and was like, how do I monetize this? This is something everybody does. I need to make this into like a game. You need to like pay then money to unlock new abilities. Has to be some kind of way.
I don't know. I don't see anything about having to pay, but I mean, I'm sure something somewhere. By using your smart device's camera to play the game, children can brush their teeth to rescue Pokemon that have been captured by cavity-causing bacteria. Children will be excited to save their Pokemon friends. So I guess it puts... I don't know. I guess so. The camera, I guess, can tell how much you're brushing your teeth, and then it's like, oh, if you brush enough, you'll save Charmander.
Is that what they did in the anime? Is that how Ash caught Charmander? He just slept a lot and made sure to brush his teeth every morning. And walk at least 5,000 steps.
Oh my god, this app is amazing. If children brush regularly, they will receive awards for their accomplishments. Can they earn the Brushing Master reward? There is even helpful toothbrushing advice to help children's skills improve.
Are children in Japan retarded? I think I remember something that them being the smartest people in the world, right? Especially the kids. Like being super smart. This doesn't sound like something they'd need for the Japanese children market, unless something has gone drastically wrong in the past decade.
I don't know. Well, I am looking at it on the US Pokemon site. Maybe this is a Nintendo of America project.
I'm tired from both of Square Enix. And recording this podcast, is it It's nothing but disappointment. I don't get hyped anymore. I don't
Are you excited for happy. Are you excited for Death Stranding 2? Did you love the first Death Stranding? Did you want to see Hideo Kojima return to that fucking crackerjack IP?
I actually never played Death Stranding 1 because I don't have the time.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. I played maybe a little less than half. I don't know. It's interesting. I want to try it again because Kojima's stuff is so weird that maybe I'll feel differently if I try it again. But
I want to get it on a console. But first, I need to get a console. I want to play it on my couch, on my big TV, because that doesn't seem like a game. Like my chair is just not comfortable. It's in Death Stranding seems like a game you'd play for hours and hours.
Yeah,
like Metal Gear Solid 5 was a game that I just loved playing.
Yeah,
a long time because the gameplay was so everything clicked. I loved that game. But yeah, I had to like move my monitor so I could just put it right next to my bed and just lay in bed, just playing nothing but Metal Gear Solid 5 all day. That's literally how most of my summer went.
Oh yeah? Yeah, I think Death Stranding would be similar. It would be hard to like pick it up and play in like little bursts. And it's good. It's a very like chill, calm game. Some would argue boring, but like if you just want to like get in the zone and hang out, it's that kind of game. Anyway, the reason I bring it up is Norman Reedus, I think, accidentally announced Death Stranding 2 because there had been rumors. There'd been Sony filed a patent a little while ago for patent Strand type gameplay, and but Death Stranding 2 had never been announced. And there was also some weird stuff going on where, like, Kojima said he was going to work with Microsoft on a project. There was, like, a letter of intent that was released, but nothing ever came of that. And then Kojima randomly tweeted out a PlayStation Studios logo one time, and people thought that he wasn't, like, teasing that they'd been bought by Sony. And then the next day he was like, no, I don't know why I did that. So nothing's ever actually been announced. And then Norman Reedus a couple days ago was being interviewed by some general entertainment website. He has a novel coming out. So they're talking to him about that, and they were talking to him about, I guess his character on The Walking Dead is getting a spinoff. And they're like, yeah, so what else have you...
Yeah, that's stupid. By the way, that's fucking stupid.
Is it? I don't know anything about The Walking Dead. I know he's the most popular character. I think they're just trying to milk that for all the money it's worth. But, so they were like, yeah, so you've been doing all this stuff. Yeah, you've been busy, what else? You did a video game a few years ago, and Norman Reedus just goes, yeah, we just started the second one. And the dude's like, oh, cool. And then they don't talk anymore about that. I don't think either one of them realized that it was an announcement that hadn't been made before, because they just completely move on from it. But apparently they're working on Death Stranding too, according to Norman Reedus.
Hey, I'm glad my boy Hideo Kojima, we go back a long time back in the day. When we were working on MGS2.
Yeah.
Yeah, we go back. So I'm happy my boy's making that money. Listen, hit me up, Hideo. Let's get Alien John 2 on the Decima engine. Let's do it. let's make it a PS5 exclusive, you know what I mean? I like the Stranding type gameplay. We can easily combine that with a 2D side scroller action gameplay, and we can make something great. Just hit me up, call me at my number. It's 050-97-773-002. That's my phone number. Thank you guys so much for listening to this amazing episode of the Tempcast. Highest energy we've had in years. Especially to the end of it. Especially right now. I think this is the peak of energy we can have on our podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. And see you next week. That's the wrong.
No, that's the right one.
No, that's... can't find the... Why is it end? Why is it... Yeah!
There we go.